lift your hands and love the Lord right now. Just love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you may be seated. We greet you tonight in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a youth convention we're in tonight. What a great, great service. We'd like to, I first of all want to say thank you, Brother Carpenter, for that beautiful introduction. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And to have Brother Carpenter introduce me tonight and to embrace this truth is the greatest joy that I could have. Thank you, Brother Carpenter. I'm so proud of you. We'd like to give honor to Brother Robert Martin, our National Crusaders President. We cannot say enough about this man. Give him another hand. Brother Martin, you're doing such a splendid job of directing our young people. We'd like to give honor to our General Superintendent, one of the greatest men of God that I've ever known, Brother Don Johnson. I want to say thanks to the Youth Department for bestowing upon me this honor of preaching at this great youth conference. I would also like to say how much I appreciate the preaching we've heard. What preaching? What preaching? What preaching? Last night, Brother David Johnson did such a super job. Today, Brother Denny Livingston, Brother David Poole, Brother Steve Warman. What preaching? What preaching? A good friend of mine said to me a few weeks ago, hadn't been in one of our services in a long time, in the Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and he wasn't making fun, he was sincere. He said, Brother McCool, does the Assembly still have that powerful, anointed preaching like they used to have? I wished he could have been here today. Listen, I want you to know, I've never heard better preaching than we heard today. Powerful, anointed preaching. Praise God. And then I want to say to the Tennessee District, the Mid-South District, the host church, thank you. And then the Tri-State District, I see so many of you folks out there. We love you and I appreciate the Tri-State District. And I'm so happy to be a part of them. And I want to say thank you to Brother Danny Sizemore and this fantastic choir. Didn't they do a super job tonight? Now, believe me, Brother Sizemore and I have not been in a conspiracy. I did not attend choir practice today. He and I have had no communications at all. But occasionally, something will happen that will make you feel like that the Lord has been talking to you. And I believe after the choir has sung tonight, the Lord has been talking to me. For when Brother Sizemore held up that Bible tonight, the Lord confirmed to me, because the topic of my message tonight is this, the Word of the Lord. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. The Word of the Lord. Go ahead and give the Word a hand clap. I'm going to ask you to pray for me, because in the 42 years I've been preaching I've never learned to preach. Someone asked me on the elevator today, "Are you preaching tonight?" I said, "We'll know that after church." The only thing that stands between me and a miserable experience is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to ask you to pray for me, because when I was asked to preach at this great gathering, I sincerely sought the Lord. I hope and I pray to God that I can hear from heaven, and I want to say something that God would have spoken to this great congregation of people. If you would open your Bibles with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading at verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. I see some of you are standing. If the rest of you would like to do so, if that's your custom, please feel free. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my word in thy mouth. Verse 17, Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee, and be not dismayed at their faces. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. Israel, now I lost you because I'm reading chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Forgive me. Verse 3, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord. I pray that you will anoint the lips of clay with the Spirit of God. Give what you would have spoken in this service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Thus saith the Lord. The term, thus saith the Lord, occurs in 430 verses in your Bible. The phrase, the word of the Lord, occurs in 328 verses in your Bible. The term, the word of the Lord came, occurs in 139 verses in your Bible. Mark Twain said, most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture they do not understand. But the passages that bother me are those I do understand, said Mark Twain. George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Calvin Coolidge said, in this book will be found the solution of all the problems of the world. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Patrick Henry said, the Bible is worth all other books which have ever been printed. Robert E. Lee said, in all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. D.L. Moody said, sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. Ulysses Grant said, the Bible is the sheet anchor of all our liberties. Napoleon said, the Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with power that conquers all who oppose it. I don't know about you, but I'm hooked on the book. This book has got the answers tonight, and I'm happy to tell you that I'm glad I know that book and that we are a Bible-centered movement. God had called Jeremiah to the prophetic office to warn the people of Judah to repent and turn to God. Because of their idolatry, the northern kingdoms had fallen to the Assyrians. Judah was about to be attacked and conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian conqueror. Altars to Baal had been erected. Molech, the Ammonite deity, was acknowledged by sacrificing their little children in Hinnom, a valley near Jerusalem. A most gruesome, horrible death of letting their little babies slide down the fat belly of this idol god into his bowels that was a hotly burning furnace, and their little babies would be consumed in that fire. The worship of stars and planets was instituted. Official approval was given to astrology, divination, and occultism. The temple itself was desecrated with graven images of Asherah, the wife of Baal. God was openly defiled at the altars in the court of the holy temple where he was supposed to be worshipped. Innocent blood was being shed. Jeremiah, a man of sorrow, was openly crying and weeping, begging the people to turn to God. The people had totally abandon everything to walk in their vile ways. They were wicked and adulterous. When Jeremiah warned, he was put in prison. He was accused of treason. His advice was contrary to the false prophets. Again, he was placed on trial, barely escaped with his life. After preaching for 23 years, Jeremiah wrote his prophecies in a book, but King Zedekiah burned the book and again imprisoned the prophet. So you see, those were not the best of times. Also, you see that ours is not the first generation that has attempted to eradicate the Word of God from its public conscience. Perhaps you've heard the story of the two shoe salesmen who were sent overseas to sell shoes. One wired back and said, send me a ticket back home. Because people over here don't even wear shoes. The other man wired home and said, send me a boatload of shoes. Nobody over here even has a shoe. I need more shoes. Ladies and gentlemen, the opportunity has never been greater to live for God and let your light shine. There's never been a greater opportunity to shine for God in such a dark and depraved generation as we have today. Let me tell you something. We are desperately in need of some Jeremiahs, some Habakkuk, some Zephaniahs. And while we're at it, we could use a few Myrams and Deborahs, some women of God that are not afraid to be used of God, because we have a barefoot society that desperately needs to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've had enough ear tickling and back patting. We need some old-fashioned gospel that will change the hearts and lives of men and women that will make a difference in their walk. Would you lift your hands and love the Lord? Our nation found it so revolting to lose 40,000 young men in a prolonged Vietnam War that we rioted in the streets. But we slaughter 50,000 every year on the highway with drunk drivers and never give it a thought. We take husbands and wives, sons and daughters, and sacrifice them to the booze hounds and the liquor crowd, and we don't even as much as say, I'm sorry, because it's putting money in the public coffers. We need a Jeremiah today that will cry against the wickedness of this present world. We gave multiplied millions to the March of Dimes to conquer the killing and crippling disease, polio, that was crippling our little ones. But today, the debate is over, taking our tax money and funding public abortion slaughterhouses that's putting to death 1.5 million innocent little babies that don't have a voice and don't have a vote in our society. I say we need to turn back to the word of the Lord. We need repentance. We need to turn back to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Love Him right now. Those who actively oppose abortion are handcuffed and carted off to jail. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation needs a repentance. Our nation needs a revival. We need to turn back to God. A few years ago, we expelled and kicked God out of our schools. We outlawed prayer and Bible reading. No longer is God welcome in our public schools. And we are reaping a harvest of filth and trash, of degradation, of pestilence, such as the world has never known. Diseases for which there's no cure. Drug addiction. There's nobody here tonight whose life has not been touched some way by someone being addicted to drugs. The economy is in a mess. Our upper echelon, our men of renown, our thinkers, turned our public coffers over to the crooks, and they've wasted it on riotous living. And innocent people are having to pay for the mess of the many that's lived lavishly at the expense of the taxpayer. They say the economy is so bad, the Joneses are having trouble keeping up with themselves nowadays. I heard somebody say that inflation that inflation was so bad that out the other day on the golf course, they heard somebody yell, five! We are in trouble. We are in trouble. When Madonna becomes our heroine, when our basketball and football players and our rock star idols become our role models, ladies and gentlemen, we are in trouble. We need God. We need to turn back to God. We need an old-fashioned revival of values. Hallelujah. And we've come up with such disease as AIDS. The plague of the promiscuous. We don't need Magic Johnson preaching safe sex. We need Magic Johnson preaching and practicing repentance. That's what you need, Mr. Johnson. We don't need your advice on sex. We need to see you at an altar. And you need to be repenting. And you need to be admonishing the youth of our world to repent and quit their ungodly living and get right with God. Hallelujah! We need some preaching of repentance and some practicing of repentance. Magic Johnson preaching safe sex is like having Jack the Ripper teach young women the art of self-defense. Having Magic Johnson preach safe sex is like having Pepe Le Pew, the polecat, peddling his own brand of perfume. It just don't smell right. It's not right. We don't need his advice. We need men of God to tell us to repent and quit fornicating and quit our life of adultery. That's what we need. We need the Word of the Lord. We need this old book. Oh, hallelujah. We need this old book that'll change lives, that'll clean people up and cause them to quit their sinful living. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Safe sex will never be practiced by a promiscuous, insane society. It's not in man to do right. Get this. Part of Pee Wee Herman's punishment for indecent exposure in a public place was X number of hours of public service, which in itself exposes the indecency of our sense of values. When Pee Wee Herman can be assigned part of his punishment to direct a television series appealing to kids after he's been arrested for indecent exposure in a public place, it's a national disgrace, and it's an exposure of the indecency of our sense of values. Proverbs 7:7 calls the fornicator simple and void of understanding. Verse 22 says, he goeth after her straightway. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks. Will Chamberlain's claim of having committed whoredom with 20,000 women only proves that he's as dumb as an ox and a 7-foot fool. I said, and I repeat, Wilt Chamberlain's claim of having committed whoredom with 20,000 women according to Proverbs 7:7, only proves he's as dumb as an ox and a 7-foot fool. Listen, guys and girls, just because he's 7 foot and 3 inches tall, he didn't have anything to do with that. He couldn't help being 7 foot 3 inches tall. But it could have a little to do with how much sense he's got between his ears. Let me tell you something. Will Chamberlain's not my hero. Stand up here, Kenny Carpenter. I've got somebody that... He can't be over 5 foot 5 because I'm 5 foot 6. You know who my hero? Give me a 5 foot 5 Kenny Carpenter. Give me a 5 foot 4 and a half Bill Mills. Give me one of these sawed-off preachers that gets up here and preach like a giant and says to repent of your sins and get right to God. Give me a Danny Sizemore that's not over 5 foot 4 or 5 that'll stand up here and sing the Word of God and raise us to heights hitherto unknown. Danny Sizemore, you're my hero. Mark McCool, you're my hero. You can have your Will Chamberlains. You can have your sports hero. Give me one of these men of God that preaches to me the truth. The Word of God. That's what I want. The Word of God. Hallelujah. Will the still the stupid. I said, Wilt the stilt the stupid. His 7 foot 3 inch frame is dwarfed by the enormity of his stupidity. Proverbs 14:9. The truth of God's word echoes through the ages. And here it is. Fools make a mock of sin. There it is. The book. That's what the title of my sermon is, The Word of God. That's what the book says. Listen, Arnold Palmer can tell you what kind of underwear to wear. Magic Johnson can tell you what kind of shoes to wear. Michael Jordan can sell you everything from Wheaties to pajamas. All you want, but I want you to know, I want somebody that'll take this book and shake it under my nose and say, repent of your sins and get baptized in Jesus' name and get the Holy Ghost and straighten up your life and live for God. It'll give you a happy home. It'll give you a beautiful marriage. It'll give you success in the business world. Hallelujah. Fools make a mock of sin. Well, I'm calling the names of my hero. Don't let me forget that giant of a man, Matthew Ball. Another big, tall dude. Now, we do have them tall and powerful, too. If you don't believe that, you hear Brother Jesse Cotrer. I understand he had a hard time getting in the evangelistic department. Said he was 2 foot too tall. Listen, he may be 2 foot taller than the rest of us, but I want you to know his head's in the same place. He preaches the same truth. He's still a man of God, regardless of his size. Brother, let me tell you something. Fools make a mark of sin. You don't break the commandments. Will may think he broke the commandments. You don't break the commandments. They break you. We're staying on the 25th floor. If you could get a window open and leap off, you wouldn't break the law of gravity. You'd break your dumb neck. That's what you'd do. You'd break every bone in your body. You wouldn't break the law of gravity.
Magic Johnson, you haven't broke the commandments. Will Chamberlain, you haven't broke the commandments. Elvis Presley, you didn't break the commandments. Madonna, you didn't break the commandments. They're breaking you. You're getting diseases from which you cannot be cured. You're on your road to hell, and you better get right with God. A fool makes a mark of sin. Listen, the homosexual community can sew together a quilt to cover the United States with the name of every homosexual that's ever lived and died, but you're not going to change God's mind about the abomination of homosexuality. It's still an abomination in the eyes of God. And we need some Jeremiahs that wave the book and say, the word of the Lord came unto me. And God said, say it. And God said, don't be afraid of their faces. I'll be with you. Jeremiah 5:14 says, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. And this people would, and it shall devour them. If you don't believe that, call up Rock Hudson tonight. Have a talk with Liberace. Resurrect Marilyn Monroe. Talk to some of the flappers, the harlots and whoremongers that's gone on before us. Call them up from the grave and see if it won't say, the word of God is a flame of fire, and I was merely kindling, and it burnt me up. It consumed me. The book remained true after I was laid beneath the sod. Jeremiah 29 says, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I want you to know, it goes clean to the bone. Who was the dude that came out with the song, I'm bad to the bone? Well, I got something to cure that too, because his word burns to the bone. Claim your bad to the bones if you want to. This book is the word of God, and it's fire that'll burn clean to the bones. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? But you think you can do it? Somebody came up with their novelty song. You don't pull on Superman cape, and you don't spit in the wind, and you don't mess with whoever it was. Let me tell you something. You don't mess with this book. You better to pull on Superman's coat. You better to spit in the wind than to mess with this book. This book will get you. It'll cut you down to size. It has the last word to say in every situation. The word of God is fire. It's a hammer. It'll break in pieces. Ephesians 6:17 says it's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Jeremiah 5:14 says it's a fire. Jeremiah 23:29 says it's a hammer. John 15:3 says it's a cleansing agent. John 17:7 says it sanctifies. 1 Peter 1:22 says it purifies. It's the book of ages. Psalms 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 40:8 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. 1 Peter 1:25 said, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Can anybody perhaps give me the name of the famous professor at that university down in Georgia a few years ago that announced that God is dead? Does anybody know his name? Does anybody know Jesus? I say to you, I say he lives. I say is alive. You know, I'm really not up on rock music or world music or any other kind of, but this one kind we're hearing up here. But I do remember back in the ancient times, there was a group that came from Liverpool, and they announced at one time they were more popular than Jesus Christ. Hey, John, do you still believe that? Jesus has an empty tomb, but you've got a full grave. He lives, and you're still dead. John Lennon, are you still more popular than Jesus? You're dead, and He's alive. 2,000 years later, He's still alive. Love Him. Do you love the book? Do you love the book? I love the book. You know, as I said, I don't know that much about rock music. Don't know that much about the names of the group. Mark quit giving rock seminars because he said it was so absolute nauseous and distasteful having to keep up with it. He didn't want to even mess with staying abreast to be able to talk about it. Since I don't know that much about it, the Beatles said they were more popular than Jesus Christ. This is my imagination. Now our young folks don't hardly know who the Beatles are unless they watch some old black and white movies. Somebody came along here a while back, so I imagine, and said, let's form us a rock group. Somebody said, well, let's be like the Beatles. And they said, the who? And that became their name. I told you that's my imagination. I don't know that much about it. But somebody said, let's be like the Beatles. And they said, the who? Let me tell them, the who? The Jesus bunch are still thriving. The Jesus bunch is still growing. The church is alive and well. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem, but there's full hearts in the city of Nashville, Tennessee, that's bubbling over with the victory of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something, folks. This AIDS epidemic has given new meaning to the words of Proverbs 7 when it was advising concerning whoredom, adultery, and fornication. Now, let's read it in the new light. Since we now know about AIDS. And the strength, you know, I've known the meaning of that term for a long time. But I was given a leaflet the other day explaining it. Never saw it just exactly like that. It said, AIDS. It says, acquired immune deficiency. And it said the word acquired means that you have got to get it. You've got to go out looking for it. You've got to be promiscuous. You've got to acquire it. Listen, it's the one disease that is 100% fatal. There is no cure. It's 100% fatal. But it is also 100% preventable. And I predict, just as the so-called sex revolution and the liberated ladies of the 60s came out with a pill and found their new sexual liberty because they had the birth control pill, because they found that new liberty. They didn't realize there has been more pregnancies. They had to make abortion.
abortion legal to get rid of the unwanted babies, and now they've come up with diseases for which there is no cure. I predict that New York City and all the rest of them that's going to their far out extremes to so-called educate their kids about AIDS and safe sex, they are only setting new brush fires in a sagebrush field. The AIDS epidemic has given new meaning to Proverbs 7:23, speaking of sexual impurity, fornication, adultery. It says, and I quote, "Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that is for his life." Magic Johnson thought he was just a playboy and having a good time. He just thought he was every lady's man. He didn't know it was for his life. Verse 26, many strong men have been slain by her. Verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I agree with Vance Havner, who said, no doubt about it, we're in a moral mess. It's the worst we've been in since Adam and Eve ate us out of house and home in the Garden of Eden. One woman said, what's this world coming to? Said, somebody broke into my house and stole all of my Holiday Inn towels.